These are the moments we all live for. How many times have we seen these three work together? Elma Smit out of Africa, straight into the biltong shops of Southwest London. Emily Scarrett, Scazzy Das. Surely you can never run a switch too many times. And Mo Hunt, chippy, snipey, sporty, karaoke. Sounds like the new Spice Girls. Here they come, the good, the Scaz, the rugby.
Hello and welcome to The Good, The Scars and The Rugby, brought to you by Vodafone. We have all just about screeched in here. It's been a very big weekend. I was in Cardiff along with the big Good Scars and The Rugby banner wall. I mean, how fancy is that thing? If you didn't see it yet, go look on our Instagram. And Alicia Butchers and Donna Rose. And we did a little hospitality work. The first time ever in Cardiff before a women's test match. A beautiful occasion there. My two co-pilots on the project. We're up north for a big old, I mean, it felt like a leaving do, but there was also quite a bit of rugby in between. 10 tries and, you know, lots of other stuff. And then at the end of that game, when asked about the farewell of the absolutely inimitable Sarah Hunter, Party Packer, as she's known on the show, said it's going to be a quiet one for the team, but Santa should get mortal. And lucky for her, two of her best mates are injured, and they apparently were available to get mortal too. So we welcome to the show a former World Player of the Year, England's former captain. She's the one who lifted the World Cup, led England to a 30-match unbeaten run, which surely makes them the best team in the sport ever. Well, I don't know. I'm asking for a friend. And she's won 10 Six Nations Championships, 9 of them Grand Slams. I nicked that off you, by the way, Mo, since making her debut in 07. Did you go mortal?
Not full mortal. Not Geordie mortal.
What does Geordie mortal look like?
Like you probably have to be carried home.
Have you never seen Geordie Shore, Mo?
Yeah, why I love it. Did that work?
Well, I mean, Scaz isn't going to carry you. She can hardly carry herself on her crutches.
Yeah. No, so, I managed to take myself to bed and get up the next morning. So not crazy. Just nice.
Okay, give us the real goss. What happened?
Yeah, no, it was just really nice. We went back to the girls' hotel where all Santa's family and friends had also congregated. Obviously, some of the girls stuck around. Then they slowly just started meandering off. And then about 3:30 in the morning, it was me, Sense, Mo, Danny, Ollie, Perry, and then three of your school friends, wasn't it, left? And Mo came up with this good idea. The bar had well shut, it'd long gone. So Sense had tottled off halfway through the night to get some champagne and some, you know, bottles that she'd been given throughout the day.
Came in handy when the bar shut.
Yeah, so cracked those open. And then Mo came up with a game of, we have to go around and tell our favourite story about Santa and raise a glass. So then we all went around and told our favourite story about
Santa. These favourite stories were not like, they were like the most embarrassing stories each one could think of me. I felt like I was on some sort of hen do.
It was good though.
Some sort of hen do.
Yeah.
None of them rugby related either, were they?
None.
So like your 21st, but with more drinks.
Yeah, there was one about your 18th actually. Yeah. No, it was really wholesome, wasn't it? I think the thing was that we just wanted to do whatever Santa wanted to do that night. So it was so super important, but we didn't realise that Santa wanted to stay up till 3:30 in the morning.
Can I just add, the clocks did go forward. So yeah, technically, it was only 2:30.
No, it was lush. It was so nice.
You know you're over 30 when you're going, well, technically, you're 3:30. And you're just claiming it because you're dragging your body for every minute after midnight. It's like, oh.
I definitely paid for it yesterday, that's for sure.
But can we just discuss the queen that Sarah Hunter is? So all of these accolades, everything that we've heard about her this week. So we're there having a few drinks, whatever. Then she goes, oh, guys, I've got a presentation tomorrow morning. And we were like, sorry, what? She was like, yeah, some rugby club have asked me to go and present this award that they've named after me. So she's just retired from international sport, the biggest, greatest send-off we've ever seen in our entire life. Next morning, after a 2:30 leave from the party, she goes and presents an award, and I just think that sums her up.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. But can I also ask, did you get there on time? Because we came back to pick our car up, and then as we were driving out, we were like, oh, there's Santa. And then we looked at the clock and we were like, did she say she was presenting that at 11? And it was 11:06.
Might have been a little bit late.
I got there.
came screaming in there. Yeah. But no one was going to leave before they had you there. So
no, exactly. Like, I think it worked out better for them and me being a bit later, you know.
How many of these did you catch, did you pick up on the way?
I didn't pick any up, but I went back to my mum and dad's yesterday for a Sunday roast, and my mum like popped out and then came back with a pile of the papers. I think she'd literally been in the shop going through everyone to see if there was a photo or something written up and brought them back so she could keep for memories, I think.
If you're very listening cute. To the podcast, I'm holding up the beautiful The Observer Sport that has the most spectacular photo. Sarah Hunter, right, celebrates with Tatjana Hurd after England's fourth try. Standing ovation. That's beautiful.
It is really nice. It's nice. I was like, I wasn't going to get a try, so I might as well get in on the celebration.
Well, this is not even a World Cup. I mean, it's not like you've even won the Six Nations yet.
Yeah.
For it to be on the Observer Sport.
But I think it wouldn't happen for many people, if any. And I think it probably, I don't think it would. You can pull faces all you like, Sarah Hunter. But I think you listed off all the things she's achieved at the beginning of the show, and I don't think it would happen for many, if any. We spoke about it. Mo and I spent a long time in the car together over the weekend.
I don't know why you said it like that, but okay, we'll move past that quickly.
Did you roll your eyes?
Yeah. So far back, I can see.
Carry on. Your point was...
I don't even know where I was going with that. I think we just spoke a lot about, obviously, how much she's given to the game, the occasion. It just couldn't have been more perfect. But as I say, it's not going to happen every time someone retires. So it was almost more perfect because of that.
I don't think I've ever witnessed anything like that. Like, genuinely, for people that weren't there, I think the videos that have done the rounds, I don't think it does it justice at all. It was absolutely insane. Like, they literally, you could see people almost taking their bibs off and then sitting back down, because every time Suns, I'm going to tell you about it, it was amazing. But every time Suns was like anywhere near the 22, we were like, score, Santa! Like, me, Abby Ward and Hannah Bottoman were absolutely loving it. We were like, give it to Santa! Every time somebody was anywhere near the try line. Anyway, a few people looked like they were coming on a bit earlier, and we were like, no, you can't do it now until the play's the other side of the field. Like, you can't do it now, you can't do it now. They set up for a kickoff. So
just to clarify, you weren't giving that message to mids?
No.
In case anyone's confused. Yeah,
no,
fine.
But we were very animated in the stands around friends and family.
He could hear her.
Yeah, probably.
But I think he sensed it as well. And basically, they went to set up for the kickoff. So Suns's far side to the bench from where everyone was. And then the announcer just comes on. So bear in mind, Scotland can take this kickoff whenever they want. Bless Meryl Smith, she just held the ball. And he was like, please give it up for Sarah Hunter. And this is like a sub announcement. And everyone was just on their feet, roaring, going mental. And as Santi came off, and it was just incredible. Like, the whole of the Scottish team clapping. We were sat just behind the Scottish bench, like loads of them on their feet. It was just insane. But I genuinely don't think that clip did it justice.
Do you know the bit that got me was post game? I think everyone was shaking hands and hugs, and I think Suns was doing an interview, and I looked around the stand you're in front of. I'd argue not one single person had left the big stand. Hardly anybody had left. They'd just come down to the barrier. Nobody left until almost you'd finished speaking. And you know, so often you see people just pouring out as soon as that final whistle's gone, especially a game where England have won reasonably convincingly. They knew what the ending was going to be, but not one person left until Suns had basically given it another big one.
My mum had probably paid them all to stay there.
I was going to say, weren't they all your family?
Yeah, exactly. Nah, they, Mum was right. It was incredible. Like, genuinely could not have wished for a better moment or a better day. In fact, everything about it. But I did get a little bit awkward. I was like, got a bit shy by the end of it. So I jogged off at the end because I was like, oh, this is too much now. I don't know what to do. But when I'd done all the interviews, I was like, I best go and say hello to my family, you know? And I thought they would have come down because they always normally come down. But they'd been in this box all day in hospitality. And I looked up and they were still there. And I'm like, waving to them. I'm like,
they're hammered.
Are you actually going to come down and see me? They were just happy to be in there, like, enjoying themselves.
Aww.
They did make it down eventually, but it took them a little while.
So good. One of my favourite moments as well, post-match, Amy and Berna put Santa on the shoulders and carry her across. And then I think, was it the media manager? Was like, oh, do you mind just walking her across to the press booth? It must have been a 50-metre walk. And the
opposite
girls,
side of the pitch.
And then Kath started waving at her. Santa was genuinely giving the royal wave from the top of their shoulders as the girls were getting further and further into the ground.
But like, on that, because I had a subsuit on, it was really shiny. So I don't know if you saw them try to get me up in the first place. It was so awesome. awkward. I was like all over the place. And then I so obviously started like waving to people. But then as they started going further and further down, I had to cling on because I was like, I am literally going to fall off in a minute. And Amy's like literally hanging on for dear life. And the woman's like, just a bit further. I was like, I can't get down and walk.
I literally watched the clip of that and it made me intensely uncomfortable because they were like, your one leg was here. The fact that you didn't dislocate a hip in the process is a small miracle.
My dad did think that. He was like, oh my God, what are they doing to her?
I was like, don't drop her. I mean, I know she doesn't need to be able to run now, but let's not break her just yet. She has to have a big celebration tonight. Yeah. I mean, that moment for the sport, I feel like speaks such volumes. The fact that you could have that at home and that people came out and took ownership of it in the way that they did. Because even if it was just your team and the Scottish girls clapping you off, it would have been a momentous moment, objectively, because of what you've done. But seeing the way that your community, and it is your community, came out for you, is just, that was so beautiful.
When I thought about finishing in Newcastle and made that decision, I was like, it's going to be really special. And I just genuinely didn't think it was going to be like it was on Saturday. And I don't think I've stopped smiling since, you know, just being there, the feeling, the atmosphere. And yeah, just it was overwhelming. And the fact that like that support and that send off was better than I could ever have imagined. And I feel so incredibly lucky that I've got to do it on my own terms in a place that's like so special to me, that like it's where it all started, to come full circle and to have the day that it ended up being. Like, it just, I think it's still sinking in. Like, I genuinely don't think it's like actually like set in about just how special it was.
Did you get more nervous the morning? Because obviously, like, sometimes depending on the magnitude of the game and stuff, nerves fluctuate. No. But was it like no nerves because you were like, I know this is it, or were you like crapping yourself?
No, nerves are fine. You guys are brilliant. So my mum sent me a message and it was the most wonderful message, but I just got like so emotional about it. I was literally like sat on my bed and Marley at this point had gone out, so she had no idea what was going on. And then I think I text you being like, I've got all these cards, I've got all the, and like my phone literally just was like pinging. And I was like, do I read them? Do I not read them? I was like, should I reply to people? Should I not reply to people? And I was like, if you can tell, I'm very indecisive.
And a bit of an overthinker. Okay.
Should I retire? Should I not retire?
Yeah, oh, I've gone through that. It took me about 3 months to get to the point that I was going to decide. But I just didn't want people to think that I hadn't acknowledged them. I was like ungrateful at the thought of what they'd done for me. So I text mum being like, what should I do?
She said, can I have some advice? And I said, can I ring you? Yeah. So we had a little conversation, but genuinely she was worried that she would come across badly if she didn't reply to everyone on the moment of like the biggest occasion ever. And I just can't sum this girl up. She said to me earlier as well, that basically she's gone through all of Instagram, because obviously they disappear. She's written thank you to everybody. So every post you've seen that's gone out on Sarah Hunter's Instagram, she has personally written thank you. And I went, oh, mate, that's so lovely. I said, did you copy and paste thank you? And she was like, nah. Absolute shocker.
You typed it out.
Every time.
I know. I didn't think. I just got into this rhythm.
With love. So any of you that have got a message, handwritten with love from this girl.
But getting back to the nerves bit, the thing that actually got me into a really good headspace was your two carpool karaoke. I was literally like genuinely, because I was a bit like, not nervous, but emotional. And I was feeling a bit emotionally drained. Like, most sent it through, and it was these two obviously on their way to the game, just like singing their heart out. And I was like, that was...
Which one did she send you? Because we did quite a few.
Oh, she did two. She sent me two.
Westlife, Better Man.
Yeah, Better Man.
A bit more ballady. Yeah.
Mm.
And
Skaz is Skaz's favourite. I've got a playlist called Skaz's Type, and it's basically like boy bands. Loves it. Better Man. And what is it? We always get it wrong. Savage Garden.
Savage Garden.
Truly, Madly, Deeply.
No, we always play that first, but it's the one that's like Chicken Cherry Cola. That one.
You can ask them to do it now if you want.
Can you just sing it for us?
They were like... proper in sync, but that actually got me into a really good headspace. And then after that, when I knew I didn't have to read my messages, from that moment on I was just like, I'm just gonna enjoy it, like literally loving life.
I want you. Yeah. I know if I need you.
Ooh, I'm dying to find out. I don't know what happened there. Normally better than that.
I'm so glad you carried that on.
Cut it. Let's let it.
Oh, this is so good, guys.
But to be fair, that was all we wanted.
That was your intention.
Yeah, genuinely. I even enjoyed warming up. I was just like, what is this? And we played the song.
Do you know what? I've seen that photo of your A skips. For those who don't know, A skips is like a high knee run. Highest knees I've ever seen in my life, sorry.
I was springing. I was literally like bouncing on life.
But that was you the whole game as well.
Yeah. Loved it.
I kept on watching you thinking, why is she stopping now?
I can't agree more. Please come back. Please don't go.
No. It's I think I always knew I wasn't gonna go through to 2025. So it's gotta happen sometime, and then yeah, I just thought like this would be the most perfect way to end, and it was like beyond what I thought it would be. And I feel like there's always part of you that you want to finish when you're in a reasonable place where you're not too injured and your body's not too broken, that you can walk off the pitch and you can look back and be like, yeah, I finished at a good time. I didn't want to be someone that kind of just dwindles out and sort of performances stop like happening and things. So yeah,
I would hate to retire after that.
Yeah, well, Stuart Hogg has tried. I think he's in the light. I genuinely think he's in Sarah Hunter's send-off this weekend, and he's been like, I want a bit of that. So he's like, right, she can have Sunday. Monday, I'm announcing, and here we go.
He's
given himself a five-month run-in, that guy. Every game he's expected to be clapped off now, I know.
Trust mine to bring that. I love that.
No, it is incredible. I don't think there'll ever be, for me, there's never going to be another one like that.
I feel pretty bad though, like, because I'm like...
Set the stall. Yeah. But I think you can when you're the all-time most capped player, women's player, like you can set that stall. And I don't think every retirement should be like that. Like you've truly earned that, and it's amazing.
Bravo.
G.
I say bravo, you say G.
What was the word you said? Right, her mum, so sorry, I'm totally off topic, but we were in a hotel room and Skaz's mum and dad just happened to be in the same hotel room. Skaz's mum comes in the morning of the game just to say hello because I bumped into her dad downstairs getting ice for our game ready. Anyway, but side note. And then she comes in. As she's leaving, Skaz just went, toodle pop. And I was like, what? Sorry. God, imagine getting that wrong. Toodle pip. And I literally was stood there and I just like looked like stunned. What has just happened? And her mum went, cheerio. I just carried on as if it was normal. I was dead.
Oh my God. Oh. I mean, I can quite believe that, genuinely.
Toodle pip. Cheerio. It's like, I have travelled back to the 1960s and I didn't even know about it.
And she just outed a scared family tradition.
The funniest thing was, after mum had left, she went, toodle pip. I went, is that what she said?
And I said, no.
I didn't even realise
that's what you said, Skaz. You said that. Your mum said cheerio.
Toodle pip. There we go.
Sorry, back to Santa.
Oh no, we've got more stories on Skaz.
This is the Santa special where we rinse Skaz.
This is the Santa special. There is a great quote on Santa that is not even about her, which is honestly, out of all of the digging that producer Shira did in the preparation,
I don't know where
for
she's
this
found
episode is this one. So Damien Moody.
Oh yeah, Damon.
Now, for those who don't know, coached Lichfield RFC, the Midlands club, where Sarah Hunter and our Skazzy.
And Mo for a bit.
And the Mo.
It's okay, don't worry.
played during...
Did Damon coach you?
No, he didn't.
Oh,
do
yeah, there you go. There
we played. Go. He said, Skaz makes me laugh because she doesn't swear in day-to-day life, toodle pip. But she swears like a trooper in the change room. Sarah doesn't do that. She doesn't need to. She has this gravitas around her if you meet her. One minute she's a silly sod and it's all a cuddly toys and all that sort of stuff. She has a lovely soft side to her, but as a competitor, she drives standards. She'll tell people, that isn't good enough. We need to be here. As a coach, you love that. And all I got out of that, Skaz, is that you don't have the gravitas.
What even is gravitas?
I mean, I obviously want to dispute it a little bit, whether I claim I don't swear or whether I claim Sarah Hunter does swear. Either way.
It's probably truth in both.
Truth in both.
A little bit of truth on both sides of that.
I wouldn't describe you as swearing like a trooper.
No, thank you, Mo.
Okay. But the gravitas, Mo.
Well, yeah, if I knew what that word was, then I could have an opinion. But unfortunately, we're sat here and...
It's somewhere between grace and authority.
Ooh, what? And you don't have any of that?
Well, I think...
Savage, Damo. But Sarah Hunter does, like, she is the epitome of that.
She's the queen
of that. She's onomatopoeic of gravitas, personified. Gravitas is not onomatopoeia, is it? Can we just start again?
Oh, Mo.
What's your definition of onomatopoeia? No, it's like words that sound like. I meant personified. I said the wrong thing.
We've lost Skaz completely. Everyone thought this was going to be a crying show.
Yeah. Right.
We haven't been able to
breathe. Gravitas personified. Bang. Sarah Hunter. No, she is that. Grace and authority in abundance, I'd say.
So grace and authority. But your captaincy style, though, I have to ask, is this something that's always been this way? Or have you developed it by learning from anyone? And is there anyone you have closely watched and tried to emulate?
I think when you're younger, you don't really know what you do, and you just think it's a coin toss and like making decisions on the pitch. I don't think you really understand like what a leadership role is. And I think as you get older, you think, well, probably realise it's a bit more than that. And I think I've followed a lot of great captains. So obviously, Katie Daly-McLean, like for me, was a brilliant captain, World Cup winning captain. And people like Sue Day before that, you know, Catherine Spencer, and they all have different leadership styles. But obviously I followed Katie and I was like, well, I have to be like her, you know, like she's an incredible person, motivator, speaker, and does all these things really, really well. And then you kind of fall into the trap of not being authentic to yourself. And I think I certainly realised I'm not going to be here. I can't be here. We have very different ways of leading. And then sort of realise I've to try and be myself, and people will buy into that. People will follow it, and people will see who I am and how I lead. And it's okay to be different.
Out of interest, how would you describe yourself as a captain? Like, what would you say your style is? What do you go after?
I think I just want to lead by example. So I think I might not have all the right things to say at the right time, but I try to sort of set standards and behaviours that hopefully other people can see and follow and kind of be like, well, actually, that's what like I like about the leadership style of me. And I think that comes more naturally than, I don't know, like probably the Winston Churchill type speech.
What would you say?
Sunter's captaincy style. Yeah, exactly what she just said. Yeah, I find it interesting that, well, one, I'd like to dig out some more tapes of you trying to be Katie Daly-McLean, to be honest, because I think that would be flipping funny. But I think, yeah, everyone goes on a journey with it, don't they? I think we've both been in leadership roles. Certainly when I came into the Sevens, I was a little bit similar in terms of just trying to figure out what that looked like for you. But yeah, you're definitely somebody that you have a huge amount of respect for, and then you want to follow and try and basically be a little bit like you. I don't time everything as intently as you do on your baby G, but
honestly, she's the most diligent person you ever know. Like when they say this is your rest for the gym, send a stopwatch on, 30 seconds rest, back into the set, to the point, do you want to tell them?
Can we tell the ladder story?
Yeah, can we tell the...
Yeah, you can.
So to the point that Sunter's got this reload program, had a little issue with her calf. So you take your collagen shot and then 45 minutes later on the clock, you've got to do like some iso calf loading. So Sunter's partner was in the back like measuring because they're getting an extension at the moment. And he's like, up a ladder. Was he up a ladder?
Yeah.
He's like, can you just come and hold this for a second? I just need to get this measurement, obviously doing them a favour. And Sunter was like, how long is it going to take? Because I've got 2 minutes left on before I've got to do my calf isos. And apparently he was like, are you joking? Are you joking me?
Yeah, he wasn't that happy. I did actually go and do it, but I was on a strict, like, basically I'd hurt my calf, which wasn't part of the plan of retirement.
And retiring In Newcastle.
In Newcastle. It wasn't part of the plan. So I got an entry, which should have taken a bit longer. I had 17 days to turn this round. So every...
And what did they tell you it would take normally?
Like 4 to 6 weeks.
17 so, days.
Yeah.
I've so got when people really use the word hero, it's like real life.
But I've got a really good medical team and S&C team who gave me a good programme. But every minute which, counted.
Yeah, yeah, which you literally followed to yeah. the second.
Apart from that one time when I kind of was like, oh God, I'm going to have to go and hold the ladder.
If he so was good. Sitting here and I said to him, what kind of captain are you? What would he say?
Oh, I don't know.
Can I answer my opinion yeah. after yours? Do you want to think
no,
about
No, you
it?
Can go first.
The most caring I've ever known.
Aww.
And I've genuinely, I think that's, for me, that's what sets Sense apart from everybody. So to the point that, biggest occasion ever, when I rang her and she was having a little meltdown the day of the game, she was actually writing Marley's 90th card. So this girl has got like pockets and pockets of cards in her bag. Every first cap gets a card. Anytime you get a milestone, so like 10, 20, 30, etc. caps, they got a card. Every first cap, she'd do a speech, she'd stand up and do a speech about them, about where they've come from, so the research that went into it, she'd speak to everyone, sometimes even coaches from back in the day to get information and be able to deliver an incredible thing for you to receive your red rose, which is what happens whenever anyone gets a first cap. But yeah, to me, like, the most caring. And not just that, not just the milestones, like anything. If you get injured, if you get hurt, if she just is aware that your head's down a little bit in training, or if you're a little bit uncomfortable about something, it's always the arm round, always the check-in. And to me, that's what has genuinely set you apart from anyone I've ever worked with.
Oh, that's very lovely of you, Mel.
It's true.
Is that why you guys rehearsed your speech in the car 4 times?
Yeah. Yes. It is. We had to nail it because she does such a good job every time.
And it was quite long. It wasn't one you could just ad-lib. You'd gone to town, didn't you?
Yeah.
You didn't just go bullet
3 hours in a car, remember?
And you managed to do it 4 times.
Well, we'd got loads of information, so we got the bones, and then we basically just tried to pull it together so that it was a little bit funny.
It
so
was. That, I needed to be funny.
So that it wasn't just all pure emotion and love. Lot of emotion and love.
A lot
but
of
also,
age comments in there.
Yeah,
do you know what Amy Cocaine said to me afterwards? She went to me afterwards, she went, you made a lot of like age digs at Sense. And we were like, yeah, no. She went, halfway through, I wanted to just shout, that's rich, at you two.
I wish she had done.
I wish she had it.
I wouldn't have understood, so it would have been over my head anyways.
Also, the thing that got me were you guys, I had no idea they were coming. So Mo had been just texting me, like, just before shirts, and I'm like, oblivious in my own little world, I say it was Sam, and came down, and then these pair were here, and I was like, what are you doing here? And it still hadn't clicked that they were like going to get up and talk about me.
You're the perfect person to throw a surprise party to.
Honestly.
You see the surprise in the passage and you go, hi.
Yeah. Yeah. So Liz Craig, who got her first cap, we played Wasps start of January, and I hadn't realised Skaz was going to be here. So Liz did this really good show and go on Skaz, and Skaz
it was all over social media.
It was the one of like going viral. Skaz never messes up. And I was like, oh, that'll be quite funny to put in, you know, as a little comment about how good Liz had done. And then literally, as I was reading, I was like, oh, Skaz is now here. I was like, I'm really sorry. This wasn't planned. You weren't meant to be here, and just read it out anyway.
And I wasn't sure if that was worse or better because she was mugging her off behind her back, effectively. Yeah, yeah. What she was saying.
Oh, no, no.
So when that happened, I was like,
yeah. Got the biggest laugh of the night.
It did, actually. Yeah. Well, and I'm never funny either, so I was like, I'll take that.
Do you know what was so nice? Sorry, what was so nice about shirts is, after Liam, so Liam's our like behind the scenes camera guy, such a great guy, amazing, but he came up to me after and he was like, that just feels like such a pure moment, like she's just delivered 4 new cap speeches, it's almost like she's handing the mantle on now. Obviously she's got her cap and it's the first time that we've had names on the back of the shirts, and he was like, that just to me is just perfect. And it really was, and I was like, oh Liam, you're so good at this stuff.
Cute. The stars aligned.
Yeah, really. Does, did
if you could leave it anywhere, you're kind of putting the boat on the water now, and it's...
Yeah, genuinely. Like, things just happen for a reason sometimes, and, like, sometimes I believe in it and sometimes I don't, but I just... For me, there's, like, too many things from this weekend that I've just aligned to be, like, I'm happy to go in, and where the women's game's going as well. I'm just, like... And I feel really at ease. I woke up this morning and I genuinely wasn't, like, I'm going to miss going into camp tomorrow. And I think you never know how you're going to be. But I think for me, that just reinforces that I've made the right decision, that I'm really like looking forward to seeing how the girls get on in the Six Nations and know they'll do really well. But there wasn't a sense of waking up and going, I want to go and play Italy next week, which I think is probably a good place for me to be in.
Have you been kicked out of the WhatsApp groups yet?
Not yet, but I probably will do. I think I'm staying in the player one,
just not all the admin one.
I think it's gone off today, and I'm like, and again, it's not a sense of like, oh, like I need to have a
What's
look
going
or
on?
I want to, yeah. I'm probably going to do a little thanks, see ya.
Mic drop moment.
Mic drop. Go.
You should stay on it for media though, because you'll get the team news early.
Yeah.
So you should do all your press. So added value as a pundit.
Yeah. No, that's a good insight actually. Yeah. Well, maybe I'll just mute it. I need to learn how to do that first. Maybe you could do it for me.
Yeah, I'll do it for you in a minute.
Some of the naysayers would say that the current crop of players who are coming through now have no way of understanding what it's taken to get here. This is something that you guys understand in a way that no one who's coming through the ranks right now gets. Is that fair and is it true?
I think they'll never understand what we've gone through, because the majority of players in the group now have only ever known professional rugby. I've only ever finished school, college, university with a full-time contract, where the three of us have all had to have a full-time job whilst being an England rugby player and having to be an international and having that professional mindset without the professional world to live in. And I think it's no fault of their own. I think it's wonderful and great that they've got the opportunity to have the time that they do and the career that they will go on to have and always be professional for them. But I don't think they'll ever have that full appreciation. They'll probably empathise with it, but I don't think they'll ever be like, I know what it was like to go through that. I wouldn't change it. I have actually really enjoyed the journey from like amateur world into professional. And I think probably because of that, I do appreciate it a lot more, knowing all the challenges we had and all the early morning starts that we now don't have to have.
It's the same, isn't it? Like, we don't appreciate what Ish and Burnsy and that generation went through, because we didn't live it either. Suntz and I over the years have had many conversations when we're talking leadership stuff or whatever it might be around, you know, you can't make them understand something that they didn't live, or make them appreciate something that isn't what they're doing now. And, you know, trying not to be those people that are the back in our day people, because you can't do it. The same as somebody who comes into a program tomorrow will still not have gone through everything that Sarah Byrne's gone through, who actually is still relatively, you know, young and new into the game. So you have to be a bit careful that not to not look back, but also understand that actually they haven't been through that. Therefore, it's not their fault they don't have that appreciation.
And not all baggage is useful.
Yeah.
Which is something, if you're a woman who works in a male-dominated environment, whether you're a pilot or a surgeon or a rugby coach, this is something that so many women have experienced, that you have to leave your baggage at some point, because it's just not always that useful. It's not important to have.
I think a lot of ours is like similar to you. I'm really, really glad that I lived through a non-professional era and did that. One, because maybe when we actually have to go back to the real life, we'll have done it at some point, and we actually 9 to 5 won't smack us in the head as much as we think it might.
It still does. It still does. But no, I completely agree. It was tough.
Yeah.
Like working, and we were literally training like full-time athletes, but working a full-time job as well. Mm. It was crazy. But I agree. I echo everything you've said.
I think they'll have this generation will have their own challenges and won't know what they are yet, what they have to overcome, and they'll set things up for the generations to come. And it's just an evolution in the game at the minute because of the growth that we've been on. But yeah, they'll have their own things to problem solve.
It's also quite refreshing as well, because they almost push for stuff that potentially I wouldn't, because I'm so grateful for everything we've got now. So you kind of almost don't see past that, do you know what I mean? Whereas some of the girls are really driven in, like Jess Breach is fantastic, Burner's fantastic at like driving those standards and asking for stuff and just challenging and like upsetting the status quo and stuff. Whereas for me, I'm not sure if I would, because I'm like, oh, like, but we've come so far. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's a really fair point. And I think, like, even where we are in the game, I think we always have to keep asking 100%. And keep pushing for where it can go.
Can we also keep talking about Hannah Botterman?
So good. I just spoke to Sunta about it before. Sunta was obviously chatting. I don't think she had a clue, but I'd clocked her like crawling. I looked at Gabby, and Gabby, we both had like smiled as Sunta's speaking. But you obviously have no idea what camera view the camera people are on. And then for anyone who hasn't seen it, we're talking about the BBC clip where Sunta's doing a post-match chat with us in the studio, and Hannah Botterman, thinking she's getting herself out of shot, is crawling behind
on all fours.
Yeah, and it's raining, so it's full commitment to the cause. Yeah.
The weirdest thing is, as well, there was so much going on in the background that she could have just walked past and no
people have been walking past the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of movement. She's wearing a cap and a jacket. She could have been absolutely anybody. But the dedication to get down on all fours.
It was the bit where she got up as if like, oh yeah, I've nailed that. Yeah. Like,
it was like halfway through the shot, wasn't it?
She hadn't even made it fully out.
She hadn't.
So Matt Roberts, who directed that game, works in my office. And he walked into the office this morning and I said to him, oh, what did you do to Hannah Botterman? And he literally looked at me blank. He had no clue that it had happened. He went, what? And I showed him the clip and he went, oh, I didn't even see that when it was happening. So everyone watching it on TV who had the eagle eyes, the director wasn't looking at all. I mean, he wasn't even doing her dirty. So Hannah, that was inadvertent. Apologies.
That's bots all over for you, though. It's like priceless.
Brilliant.
So good.
So we had bots on the show a while ago. She's absolute, I mean, brilliant, full value with Zoe Allcroft. And she is one of those characters who makes me so excited for the future. These characters coming through now who, as you say, are speaking up and doing things and just being absolute. It's a bit like that poster. Was it a little boy who held a poster up for you? There was a child in the crowd who had a poster that said, thank you, Sunta. Inspiring boys and girls, that's what it's all about. Jessica Hayden tweeted it. And that's the stuff that people attach to, is the personalities in the game. And you have been one of those beacon-like personalities that has just magnetically attracted people's good feelings.
It's the dimples.
It's the dimples.
What did you guys say in your thing, though? Again, this was a more lighthearted note.
We made a dig, basically, about maybe when she first got cap, you couldn't quite see the dimples because her face was a little rounder than maybe it is now.
Honestly.
So for those that don't know, the England rose that we wear was a tulip back in the day because it was the RFU.
U-W.
Oh my goodness, thank you. And it's blossomed into the rose. So as the game's gone on, we've like had now the England rose. So we made a joke that Sunta, much like the tulip, has blossomed into her dimples.
Honestly, who needs enemies? We've got friends like this. But it did also lighten the mood. I do think, I guess now that I think that's the great thing about the team. You look across the board and you've got so many different personalities. You've got so many different people in terms of what they look like, what they sound like, what they're into, what their fashion is, everything like that. So I guess especially for young girls, but young boys also, is that they look up and they can see people and they can relate to them and they can say, oh, well, that's me. That's what I want to do. And I think in the world that we live in, we need to have more people in society where young people can feel accepted in the world because they are like someone else. And I think within the Red Roses, like, you've got great role models to do that. And I think allowing people's personalities to shine through is so important. Like, whatever that personality might be, it might be someone like Bots who's like quite loud and quite boisterous, or it might be someone that's a bit more shy and retiring. But I think it's so important to show that actually there's something for everyone.
I think the shining moment of you cutting through in a way that I haven't seen very often, I think the most comparable example to that for me would be Sia Kolisi, was your post-match interview at the end of the final in New Zealand. Because all I got from what you were saying, and I remember I was at the Henley Rugby Club with Kim Oliver and Ollie Perry, and we were all like ugly crying watching you. because of the sadness of the moment, but also because we could really read all of your feelings on you. There was just so much honesty and so much vulnerability. And that requires a lot of strength to just stand there complete, like with your, you know, guts hanging out going, that really hurt. And you're still proud.
Yeah. Like I think I had a few deep breaths, but I think at that moment, I didn't want to hide behind this person that comes out and be the media trained, like, oh, in the English, typically, it's, oh, well, haven't we done well? And never mind. But like to show that actually it's all right to be hurt by something that's just happened, and to try and like let people in to know how you're feeling, how the team will be feeling. And I think I genuinely at the time, I think I was having this out-of-body experience because I didn't really know what I'd said or how I said it. I think it was just pure like emotion and heart that was being said. But I think like once you've had time to watch it back, and people ask like the moments that you look back on and proud of, and away from all the things that you've done rugby related, that's probably one of them, to somehow find some words to try and like say how we were feeling and but what the team had done and where the game was. I think something like, now I've had time to reflect on it, it's like, I didn't mess that one up.
No, you didn't.
Definitely
mess,
didn't
that,
mess
one
that one up.
That's the understatement of the century. No, you didn't mess that one up.
Yeah. Big time, didn't mess that one up. I remember.
I mean, I have done some with some of my notorious.
Do you not know what you're talking about? Can we move on? Because this is one of my favourite stories ever.
Go on.
So it's a post-match interview. We'll get this clip out on social media somewhere. It's done the rounds already. Full boardings behind, sponsors, the whole shebang. Thinks you're in a full England kit. And she's obviously talking about itching to get going and chomping at the bit. And she combines the two and says girls were itching at the bits.
I know, honestly.
So good.
Honest to God. Been allowed to live it down. Yeah. I redeem myself, though, with post-World Cup.
Yeah, you did. 100%.
I'll take that.
Times 1,000.
Do you, when you do it, know that you're doing it well? Or are you just making it up as you go along and then afterwards go, oh, okay, I hope that landed well?
Yeah, generally, I think with something like the World Cup, it was just coming out. I hadn't thought about anything, hadn't thought about what I wanted to say.
As you're running over, you're not going, oh, I need to say.
The only thing I was like, please don't cry on national TV. That's all I was thinking. I was like, before, I think LJ, she did the interview and I was like, please don't be nice to me, because if you're nice to me, I will cry. Because we had like about 30 seconds before we went on air, and I was like, please just don't be nice, because I will burst into tears and not stop. I'm an ugly crier, and I'd literally be like,
yeah. There's this week's caption in slow-mo of the facial. Found it.
But I think that, so you guys, everyone that watched that got an insight into what we see as Sarah Hunter, which is why you've seen so much on social media this week and so many of the girls coming out and saying it, because that is her, like what you said earlier about being authentic. That was you at your authentic best, like in the most hurtful moment probably of like a long time. And then you've just delivered that. And that is why we love her to pieces.
Post-match interviews, you get a raw self of somebody as well. Because there is no time to think about it. There is no time to prepare what you might say, or someone tell you the questions that you might get asked. Because LJ's probably doing the exact same. She's having to react because it literally went down to the final play of the game. Mm. So it is literally somebody's raw self at that time. And you absolutely crushed it. I remember standing with the girls, consoling, you know, trying to just get amongst people. And then I heard her voice and I was like, shit, she's having to do this on the TV right now, whereas the rest of us are sobbing and just on the ground or doing whatever it is. And I remember thinking, bloody hell.
That's also so tough because you weren't there for, like, you weren't on the pitch for that second half. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, no, yeah, 100% can talk about it. Absolutely.
Isn't that twice as hard, because you couldn't play a part in, I mean, the decisive moments? There was just nothing you could do. You just had to watch.
Yeah, it was really hard. Like, I guess the decision, it was gutting to come off at half time, but like in my head I was like, Mid has made the decision that he thinks is gonna win the World Cup, like, and that's the best thing for the team at that time. It's not about me. It's not about whether I want to play or not. He's genuinely made a tactical decision. We've obviously lost Lydia earlier on. He's thinking, well, what am I going to do to win the second half, or ensure we keep winning the second half to win the game? And like, he's made that in that moment, and like, that's, you back that decision because it's a team sport at the end of the day, and you'll do anything to win the World Cup. And if we win the World Cup, it's like, you don't think anything of it. So you have all these thoughts, and there was no thought in the second half at all that I ever thought there was going to be any other result other than we were going to win. And Marley had come off at the stage where we kicked a corner, and I literally turned to her and I was like, this is it, this is our moment. And like, and then you're like watching it, half watching it, and then it's literally happening in slow-mo, and you've got no control over anything, and you're like, and then you can see it happening, and you're like, no. And I remember just looking away, and Amy came and like, it'll be all right. And I'm like, it's not okay. Like, that's it, we're done. It'll not be okay. And then the first thing after that was like, I just wanted to get on the pitch. So I think you have that sort of process of probably a bit longer than being in the moment to be like, right, I just want to get to the team and make sure everyone's all right. And yeah, just make sure that actually we stick together, and you pick the people up that have literally like dropped to the floor. And like, unfortunately, like both of us, all of us know that what it feels like to lose a World Cup. So you have an insight of what people are naturally already feeling, and you just want to try and take that pain away from them, or to let them know it'll be okay, and just you'll be there for them. And that was the first instinct. I didn't feel all right. I was devastated, absolutely devastated, but I had more of a desire to go in, make sure everyone was all right, then to kind of deal with. I was like, I can deal with myself later, but I need to go and make sure the team's all right.
Oh my goodness.
That, so yes, she puts everyone first, but also the team first. That is, you're just incredible.
I couldn't put everyone else first.
Yeah. I think
I was inanely feeling really sorry for myself that I'd gotten up so bloody early. And then sat there and did this Q&A, and we just all cried so much, and it was so sad.
There was a lot of crying. I just, honestly, I think the toughest bit is, I think, when we had to stand and you have to watch New Zealand get in. And like, fair play, they won it. They did well. The way they turned around their performance in less than 6 months to go and win the competition, like, you can never take that away from them, but it doesn't make it any easier having to stand and watch them get what you so desperately want.
That's painful.
Yeah.
And you've been on the other side of it, which I think is really important. You know what it feels like to have that experience, which is a really interesting contrast.
Huge contrast. It's like literally the biggest contrast you can have. And I guess I feel really fortunate that obviously now finishing that, we can say like we have won a World Cup and we have been world champions. And there's a lot of people in England who like haven't, and they'll always have that part of their career missing. And I think it probably now makes that gold medal shine a little bit brighter, knowing that, like, for me, that's going to be it. Hopefully for the two people sat next to me, that there'll be one in 2025 to go and win. But yeah, that I think it does make it even more special, knowing that, like, you've done it, you've got it, and there isn't going to be another opportunity to try and go and get another one.
And it's rare.
Yeah, really rare. And I think it also like makes you realise more that it's even harder. Like, World Cup wins don't come easy. So actually having one makes it even more special, knowing that it is rare and not everyone gets the wonderful opportunity to say that they are a world champion.
Where's the medal? Where is the medal?
It's in her bag outside. She bought the 10
Are you wearing it under your shirt?
Yeah, okay. Her World Cup winning medal.
I think, actually,
and her MBE.
It's actually out on the side, but it's only out on the side because when we did the documentary in the summer, as they do, they like to set things up.
It's outrageous when they do that, isn't it? This girl would not want to get her medals out and show anyone.
Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
So I moved to Loughborough in 2017 from Bath, and I had one box that I hadn't unpacked, and it was a box with like all my medals in. So, and then we moved last year, 2020, that was like 5 years. and this box still hadn't been unpacked.
The way it gets better.
And then when the documentary people were like, oh, can we come to your house? And they were like, oh, well, I was like, well, yeah, I've just moved in and there's still one box that's not unpacked. They were like, oh, what's in it? And I was like, oh, my medals, my rugby memorabilia. They're like, brilliant. So literally, they made me unpack this box one at a time, talk about the medals and put it out on the shelf. And they've been out ever since. But Nathan's like, you know, they can't stay there.
He's like, but can't be the person who puts them away.
No, he wouldn't be. Yeah. I have to find a different place for them. But it's like a little shrine of World Cup. Yeah, very
we
similar.
We have a little shrine here. I mean, we could just take custody for a short while.
Yeah.
Sons was fuming. She came back into camp and was like, guess what I had to do this weekend?
Can you believe it? Yes, Sons, for the shot. Remember, you're a TV pundit now.
Yeah, and they used one clip, which was of me crying over the 2017 World Cup.
After all that, you got the wall out.
How long were you filming for?
Hours.
Cutting room floors are littered with many, many gold moments. I am brutal and rip them out.
As soon as I cried, I was like, oh, well, I know what's going in the shot, don't I?
Yeah, there we go. So speaking of things that go into the shot, if we had to pick a moment, let's say attach a word to the feeling of the weekend, because it was a big weekend. I feel like we got a lot
to start
with.
You didn't tell me it had to be a feeling.
Well, before we get to the rest of it,
yours can be a feeling.
Honda has asked us to give a one-word review of the weekend's action. So everyone's got their little clipboards. Everyone's had a Sharpie. So flip your clipboard around, say the word, and explain to us why you select this word. Let's start with... what was that word that your friend from the 60s used? Toodly dip?
Toodle pip.
Toodle
pip. Toodly dip.
Don't make up words. Don't make up words, Elma. Don't make up words.
Toodly dip. Guess what, Scuzz?
Emily Toodle Pip Scarrett is going to show us the word of the weekend.
Toodly dip.
I went Santa. Has to be. I think the whole thing, we've spoken so much about it. It was unbelievable and fitting of the very best. So I know there's some other games, but...
I mean, do you want to go?
Incredible. Aww. Like, genuinely, like, beyond my wildest dreams and imaginations of what I could ever have asked for. All my favourite people were in one place and made the day so incredibly special that genuinely, like, it was just the best I could have ever asked for.
Oh, Gamma.
Monumentous. Don't tell me she lose her head.
Skaz, God.
So, just like you, Skaz, I joined two words together.
Do you know this is the word you were saying the entire car journey?
I was trying to say monumental.
Yeah, but yeah, you kept saying this word.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, because I was like, just say momentous, because that's basically what you're saying, but you'd written down monumental. Yeah. And then you just kept coming out with just versions of it.
So monumental.
This is a new word that personifies Santa.
Monumental. Oh, I thought it was OUS.
I thought it was OU. Yeah.
No,
guys, it's not a word.
It's two words. It's monumental but, and momentous.
Yeah, but if you were going to join them, you'd still put the OUS at the end.
Oh, I understand. Anywho.
I love it. Well,
effectively, monumental. The whole weekend, record crowd down in Wales, Sarah Hunter and all that brought, everything about it was just monumentous. So
yeah, brilliant.
Monumental.
Sorry, can we just go back to, I know we keep talking about it, when we did Santa's pre-shirt speech. So we were in the car and we had
really stitched up about this,
had,
by the way.
We had the privilege of being in the car and reading it. I was driving, so I didn't really get as much practice as Mo. Mo kept reading it, kept reading it, kept reading it. Every single time she mucked up this word, right? And then in the shirt presentation...
Messed up the word. So then I got back in the car after and I was like, oh, Skaz, I'm really gutted that I messed that word up. And she went... Yeah, to be honest, I don't really know why you kept trying to go with it. You should have just changed it at the time. And I was like, thanks for telling me. Like, cheers, brother.
Cheers, brother. There we go.
What's yours?
My weekend word in review is not a word. I'm cheating. It's many words.
That's the
many
crowd.
Souls in Wales. 4,962 people, a record crowd for a Wales women's home fixture. And apparently almost twice as many will be there when England
hit. Oh, wow. Already sold.
That's the rumour.
Amazing.
That's what I'm hearing.
Oh, that's really cool.
So I'm all for the numbers. 4,900.
What's the Twickenham update?
What was
it's
the number
be
in New
42,
Zealand?
42,000 something and something.
Yeah. I was going to say New Zealand was the final of Rugby World Cup 21. I have the number here. Give me a moment.
4,579.
What is it?
7,9.
42,579.
Damn it.
She tries so hard.
Do you know what?
She really tries so hard.
Nailed that one.
It's okay. I love that you try.
I tried. I was just filling.
4,000.
4,500. I've literally said it 20 times. 4,242.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Take me home.
What I can tell you is that Mo was on top form when we took Honda's motor vehicles out, even though we blindfolded people and we made you guys drive with milk. So if you have not watched this feature, Mo was there dragging James Haskell, which is worth watching just for that. But make sure that you go watch our day out with the GBR boys in two Honda HRVs. We went head to head and surprise, Skaz won.
Oh, shock.
Excuse me, we were a team.
Oh, are we here? We were a team.
We were a team.
Mo was there as
Skaz
well.
Mo versus the boys.
Yes, okay. Who was driving?
Nice, Skaz. Well played, mate.
Was Skaz driving?
No, to be fair, Skaz did nail it, didn't she? Have you not seen it? Basically, no, it's
friend of the pod, Sarah
You're
going
to go watch it. We're going to get an extra viewing number. Basically, she reversed. So we had to do this thing where you drove around and had a ball on the top of the car. So the boys like just had a little paper cup. We took a tee, got a little heads up, so we got a kicking tee. And Skaz went the whole way and then reversed back through. Like the audacity, it was amazing.
Such a show off.
Like a proper...
It was so
she
good.
She grew up driving a tractor though, yeah. So she should be good at it.
So driving an HRV, I mean, hello. So make sure you go watch that. If Mo hasn't sold it well enough for you, just her dragging James Haskell is honestly worth it. We had a lovely live show out there, and I think I need to put in an application to the Principality Stadium to let us return, because we would like to fill up the Riverside Terrace. Yes, please. We did a whole tour. I went into the change rooms and really got myself into the zone. There was many incriminating videos of me doing things that
videos is good.
It's a little embarrassing. I know, Skaz.
I've seen you in the shirt.
It's embarrassing. But there we are. Flames and...
I didn't even say that.
I mean, just an athlete. That's what I am. A humble athlete trying to make her contribution to the team. But the rugby was phenomenal. And Wales kicked the tournament off in such style. I know England got a perfect 10. That's unbeatable and the perfect send-off for Sarah Hunter. But I would like us to just have a little moment for the girls in red, because they put on a massive show. Did you catch the game?
We were in kind of the pre-game bit and we had it on in the background, but we only started watching it at halftime. We were like, oh, what's the score? What's the score? So there's like myself, Maggie, Katie Mack.
Name drops.
And a few.
Gabby Logan.
And a few others. Didn't say her, did I?
Her and a bestie Gabby.
Yeah. And we checked the score and it was it 26-0 at halftime, 25-0 at halftime, something, which I think we were all not surprised at. But surprised at. Does that make any sense?
Impressed.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I think so. And obviously, perhaps Wales weren't able to kick on in the second half as much as maybe they would have liked to. Ireland obviously come back into it a little bit. But I think, yeah, really strong start from Wales. And, you know, we spoke about it last week, didn't we, that they're probably another year into the contracts compared to some of the other teams. So they've got a bit more perhaps behind them. And, yeah, started really strong.
And also the way that they're running their contracts, I think, for me, is a big one. So obviously 11 of that squad were
at Gloucester Hartbury.
At GH, so here we are.
She's saying Gloucester Hartbury, have I sent you?
No, I'm not. But what I'm saying is they are really good at releasing the girls. So if they're not in the matchday squad, they actually go into training on the Friday. So if they don't get game time, they're actually in, like the contracted girls are in training, doing physio, doing rehab, whatever that is. And then they get released back to club. And I think just the way that they're working it, it's kind of, well, for us certainly, I know that it's a lot further for someone like a Georgia Evans who's got to go to Saracens and back, but it works for our club at the moment. It definitely works. And the girls were brilliant. Like, it was great to see. Like, my heart goes out to obviously the Irish girls, like Niamh and Sam on the other side of that, but like Sis getting player of the match and her little emotional.
Oh, that was so amazing.
Oh, just the clip of her. Like, honestly, she's golden. She is such a lush human. Kerrin Lake, first game of rugby she's played in ages, and that little fend to hit up Hannah Jones on the little pop line. It's great to see the girls doing so well, and they're really loving it. You can see that they're really enjoying their time there. I think you mentioned the post-match, everyone in the huddle, all staff, all players, and then the first cap.
Kate Williams.
Yeah, for Kate, aww, which is just class.
I think as well, they've been through their fair share of the shite, yeah, haven't they? So I think actually to see them come out, not the other side, but a little bit, and actually enjoying some, you know, good time together, translating to actually results and performances on the field. Obviously, we were only one game in, but I think that's also really nice to have seen a team struggle through a bit, but actually come out the other side.
Yeah.
And can we have a moment for Donna Rose? I mean, the fact that she's injured is disappointing because obviously we'd love to see her play. There were two upsides to this, though. One was Cecilia Tuipulotu because, oh my goodness, she is very scary to be watching. I'm so glad she will never run at me with a ball in her hands because I wouldn't be able to survive that. And secondly, that we got Donna for our little hospitality chat. She told us about Gwen Crabbe's match day hair being quite a do and how much they drag Gwen for her match day do hair because they say she does her hair and it looks like she's going to go get married. It was also nice just to see support tweeted. Billy Vunipola tweeted, the next big thing, caps, yes please. And Carbon Tuipulotu, her cousin who plays for Scarlets, tweeted, cuz on fire, and a flame emoji, aww, about Cecilia Tuipulotu. So that was great. Kira Bevan, oh, I mean,
very good.
Love that energy. Full on scrap, continues without a nine. Next thing, she's in there, rejoins the attacks, nails a 50-22. What's Kira like to play against?
I really enjoy our little battles. I think she's just a character. What you see on the pitch playing for Wales or Bristol, it never changes. She's always like full of energy, full of beans. We have a good relationship. I really enjoy Kira. Like we'll like speak about how we play, like different bits, and we've always kind of had each other's backs through our careers. So I've got quite a nice relationship with her.
What about when you get on the pitch though?
I quite like it. I quite like the little scraps. She's not as bad. Alex Callender, another one, and like undoes my laces as I'm bent down putting the ball into the scrum because obviously she's on the flank. So for me, Kira's fine.
Kira's nothing.
Yeah, she's not nothing. She's a talented athlete, but I feel like we have a good battle whenever we play and I enjoy that.
She undoes your laces?
Undoes, yeah.
Alex Callender.
I could imagine me. Sorry, remote correctsy
grammar, you know.
Undoes.
She undoes my laces. Undoes, yeah, it's so annoying. But I tried to pull her scrunchie out, so I got really mad.
That just escalated.
So, yeah, so like I'm there bent down trying to put this ball on the scrum. She's undone my lace, and I was just really mad. I was like, that was such a childish thing to do.
So you pulled the scrunchie out.
So I went to grab her hair and pull her scrunchie out, and then I was like, shit, I might get cited for this because it looks like I'm trying to pull her hair. So then I apologised straight away.
Which, as you're putting it back in her hair.
Yeah, sorry, I was like, sorry, 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 sorry.
Let me put your scrunchie back into your hair for you quickly.
I was like, you're so childish, and then did an even worse thing, but anyway.
Not like you, yeah, Torma.
So very mature.
Yeah.
Is there anyone whose chat you're going to miss on the pitch?
Ooh. No, that's a great question. No, like, the Welsh can be, like, awful. Like, just general, like, I'm like, just focus on what you're doing. Like, you know, you're using the energy in your wrong way. Like, focus on your game rather than try and get stuck into us because it's really not working. I'm like, oh, God, shut up.
And here she is.
She's retired, everybody.
The real Sarah Hunter comes to light with the real Sarah Hunter. Please stand up. That was Northern, in case you didn't get that.
Yeah.
Doesn't
like,
work.
No, it's just annoying. Mm. Like, it doesn't get you off your game. It just, like, I'm like, oh, God, just be quiet.
Go for the shoelaces.
Yeah.
Oh, I've given everyone the trick now.
I think things like that, though, I've got a bit of time for not undoing your shoelaces, but like the small funny stuff, yeah, like pulling someone's shirt a little bit over their face.
You
something.
Had a good one once.
You know, just things that are like, they're irritating, but they're totally harmless.
Skaz once, we were playing against Bristol for Lichfield. I don't know if you were playing in this game. she basically grabs Marley Packer's shirt and like pulls it over her head. So she's like trying to fight, but her arms are like trapped. And she was going mad, but she actually couldn't get anywhere. The shirt was just over her head. She couldn't get it back down for ages.
It was even funnier because it was her as well. She was basically scrapping herself in her shirt.
It was so good.
My favourite bit of a scrap. Do you remember when we were in New Zealand and it was the third game, and I think 2013? Yes. And like we'd been whitewashed. We had been really poor. And the final game, like towards the end, and there was a big scrap like kicked off, and our manager Gemma at the time, like there was TV cameras, so rather than stop it, she literally just put her clipboard in front of the camera so no one could be sighted for it and just let it happen, just carried
on. But then the camera moved and Gemma was like, wait, I ain't nothing to see here. Like, just kept moving with the camera. It was so brilliant.
Is that the coach you're gonna be?
Yeah, but just let them crack on.
They'll get it out of their system.
Yeah, they will do. Let them find out themselves.
It'll run out. Yeah. Just let them go. It's cool.
I get Mo in to teach them how to do some tricks around the scrum, like pull scrunchies out.
Yeah. Everyone keeps asking you what's next. So you're obviously on the TV this weekend. Yeah. I mean, literally not a day off. Yeah. I mean, you're not really leaving rugby in any real way. You're just shifting chairs.
Yeah, I'm just moving somewhere else.
Yeah.
A sideways move.
Yeah. Is there something about that really excites you?
Yeah, genuinely. I think especially I'm going to go, like, I've been player coach at Lightning since I joined there like 6 years ago. So I've always done a little bit as I've gone along, and I'm actually really excited to get back into it and just spend some time like trying to get better, develop myself. And obviously we've got our partnership with Northampton Saints, which is really exciting, and just seeing where that goes. Whilst obviously one chapter's closed, I just feel like one's almost beginning, and doing bits of the TV work is probably like quite good in terms of just seeing what other things are out there. And but so yeah, I'm really excited about what's next. And so yeah, I won't be having any time away from rugby. I think it's literally been sort of like shoehorned into me for the rest of my life.
I think you'll be in demand as well. Have you thought about what training or exercise might look like? Because I always find that fascinating, because I feel like you don't have to do anything.
No,
you're not prescribed anything anymore.
No, Mo asked me this. I was like, I wonder if they could create a program for like retired life. And Nathan was like, you know, I'm not going to let you do nothing. So I think you like have me out running with him or something. But yeah, I'm quite excited just to like do what I want when I want and not have to be like, oh, I've got to go and do this program. And I won't miss some of the running sessions we've had to do, that's for sure.
I'm going to text you next Christmas and make you come and do it with me.
Yeah, I'll be like, oh, sorry, busy. But just, you know, if you're feeling like you want to go for a run round the streets or down the canal or something, you can do it without going, this isn't part of my programme, I'm not allowed to do that.
That's mad. That when's the last time you think you've done that?
Genuinely,
can you even remember?
Probably when I thought I'd, randomly when we went up to Kingston Park on Team Run Day, I was like, I surely recognise that man. I don't know why. And as I went out, he came up to me and he was like, oh, I remember when you were 15 and there was a gym where there was like lots of grounds, and he was like the groundsman there. He was like, I remember when you used to come into the gym and do all your training. And this was me just going into like a little tiny gym going, what's everyone else doing? Well, they've gone on the treadmill. I'll go on the treadmill. Now they've gone on the rower. Like literally just copied what, like they're on the machines. So I'll do a bit of this and a bit of that. I had no idea, but I feel like that's what I'm going to go and do. I'm like, oh, what do I fancy today? Like a bit of bike or a bit of lat pull down, like... Or maybe get myself along to a class like Bums and Tums or something.
Zumba. Zumba. Oh my God, Zumba. Sarah Hunter at Zumba. If you ever do that, can we come
please
with a film crew?
Zumba. No.
So, have you seen the video of the one?
2014.
No, not a Sunter video. Oh, the one where the exercise class moves to the left and this poor woman moves to the right, and then they move to the right and she's moved because she's like 5 seconds behind. That is what, bless her soul, Sarah Hunt would
that'll be me.
Choreography, is that your thing?
Absolutely not. My one of my friends from school, friends, actually came to the game, who didn't come to the hotel. She actually has her own Zumba business.
Does she?
Yeah.
Sign her up. She's an influencer waiting to happen.
I don't even want a film crew there. I just want to be there. Yeah, I want to be in the room.
Can you just put your phone on live? Yeah. Do you know how to do an Instagram live?
I'm sure I could learn. Mo will teach me.
I feel like there is a show in this and we need to make it.
I have got terrible rhythm. Like when So we were at the ground on Saturday and Harry, our manager, was like, oh, we're leaving. Shouldn't you don't have to come back with us? Like, I was like, no, I want to come back. I want to come on the bus one last time. She said, no, you can get a taxi. No, I actually want it. She was like, yeah, but you've got all this other stuff to do. I was like, no, I'll...
She's basically saying, we want to leave. Can you hurry up? Yeah,
yeah. I was like, right, I'm on it. Like, half an hour later, like, I actually get on the bus. And the first Caps do their song, and then They Made Me Do a song, obviously. So I did Time of the Life, you know, the one on Dirty Dancing.
No, how's it go?
And I literally butchered it. Amy Kagame was like, yeah, it was a great song, but it didn't really sound like like the tune or the timing of the actual song. But yeah, I just went with it, like proper, like free for all, gave it everything. But yeah, timing, coordination, anything like that, not got.
One of my favourite things, you know, like when everyone's clapping along on the bus or whatever, either one of us would get Sunshine and try and clap, like get her in the rhythm with us. So we'd be like, she'd be like looking at us so intently, like trying to clap in time.
Yeah, so are you good. Next to the beat?
Yeah.
Always next to the beat.
Yeah, I'm totally.
You got like, way better though.
Yeah, but it'll only be for like a minute and it'll be by accident.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah. Okay, pandit hat on. Italy, France was interesting because Italy was within reach there for a bit, which makes us all excited about what could happen. One or two upsets maybe on the horizon. Predictions. Round two, Saturday, Ireland versus France in Cork.
I just think, unfortunately, Ireland are in like a bit of a pickle. You know, they've got some contracts, some people playing over in England.
Like, what is up with that?
I don't know. You've got two Irish girls, you might know.
Yeah. It's just tough. So they obviously have brought in these contracts and Irish rugby just want to get everyone back into Ireland to have the contracts, but I'm not sure the structure's there to be able to do it yet. And the girls have tried to put themselves in the best shot by being over in England and playing in the most competitive league, yet then they're now not supported. So it's just, it's tough. Like, I feel for them.
I think Scotland and Wales have done that. They're letting their contracted players play in England, where there's a really good league. It's really competitive. The players are getting better. And you just wonder whether Ireland might, like, sort of learn from it or be a bit too late. But I just think, obviously, it's great that they've got contracts, but it just doesn't seem like it's all tied together at this moment in time, which I think probably showed in the performance against Wales. And I think, obviously, France is going to be a tough prospect at any time, never mind where they are at this moment in time.
Yeah, just a bit more alignment required. Yeah. Scotland, Wales, 5:30, Edinburgh Rugby Stadium.
I'd like Scotland to win. I think where they are...
Lightning.
We've got a lot of Lightning girls in the Scottish team. And Rachel Malcolm, I've got so much time and respect for her. She's such an incredible leader, person, and you just want them to turn the corner. You know, you look out to the World Cup and those games which were lost on fine margins, you just think, I just want them to get over that line and get the win that has been coming and is coming. And I just don't know that back home they'll have a bit more... Will they have that more galvanisation between the new word? Is that a new word?
Galvanisation. I like it. I get mocks, don't I? Yeah. You can do whatever.
It makes sense.
There'll be more galvanised, I think.
The gravitas.
So much gravitas in here.
So much gravitas.
Monumentous.
Monumentous. It could be a monumentous occasion.
Tiddly dip.
See, it works. Doesn't that work? No, I agree.
But yeah, I just. Are the whales coming off? We've lost it.
I'm listening, Sense. Carry on. You just talk to me, girl. Yeah. Wales coming off.
The back of their win against Ireland. Obviously, they'll be full of confidence. Really full of confidence. They've obviously had that year. Be tough for Scotland, but maybe at home. I reckon they'll have a record crowd there this weekend.
You're back in a Scots win.
Yeah, I'm going to go with it.
Nice.
And Italy, they were threatening with ball in hand. Confident in phase play. I mean, the weather towards the
horrendous.
End of that game.
Not awful. An Italy away trip, that.
No, I know. Well, I looked at it and I was like, oh.
That's the one fixture, if you have it, you look forward to for a bit of sunshine.
Yeah. This time, however, it's at Franklin's Gardens, which is...
great pitch to play on.
Great pitch.
Yeah, really great pitch.
And is going to be proper well supported.
Yeah.
So we're really excited about seeing England Grand Slam on again, are we talking?
Genuinely, I think new faces in... we had, what, 2-3 weeks prep, and it's been a bit disjointed at times, like obviously people trying to get up to speed. And I just thought the performance on Saturday, like compared to how things have been going in training, was next level. And I think obviously as tournaments goes on, you build, you get more continuity in how people are playing, and you're getting some senior players back, hopefully.
Is that me?
That's you. Senior. Experience.
Yeah. That's okay. You can say senior. We've rinsed you for age also.
But like, there are key players like Alex Matthews will be back, Hannah Bottom will be back, Maud Muir will be back, hopefully Helena Rowland will be back, you know, as you build towards sort of the big end of the tournament, a big finish at Twickenham. And I genuinely think it's certainly on the cards.
Fly half?
Yeah, I think Holly will get the nod again. I think she did well.
She's just such a baller. Honestly, so I was in the line in training, and basically we were doing this like live contact drill, and I got absolutely sat down by her. So she like gave me the eyes out the back door, literally like wound this pass up. So I tried to make this read, like flew out, tried to make this read, and she just slotted the ball into Sarah Beckett, who went clean through untouched. And I was like mortified, like the only opportunity I had to make a tackle in that, and I missed it. Like, didn't even miss it. It was an absolute shocker.
You weren't anywhere near it.
And I said to the girls after, I was like, oh, I'm fuming about that. They were like, how's that? I was like, yeah, fine, but I was fuming about that. And they were like, oh, was it Holly? And I was like, yeah. They were like, just wait a beat. Whenever Holly's got the ball, just like stick your channel for that extra second, because you just never know. And it's true. She's just brilliant. Just picks the right holes, just puts people in space. I love playing with her when I'm her nine.
Okay, I hope no one from Italy was watching now.
Yeah. But genuinely, she's grown in confidence over. She's quite a sort of a quiet player and person, you know, but like when she speaks, like, people listen. And actually over the last couple of weeks, because there's been no Zoe Harrison around, no Helena Rowland, she's had to step up into that role, into that leadership role, and she's done really, really well. So yeah, like, I thought she played well on Saturday. She just has so much time on the ball, and her pass is like unbelievable, like the weight of it at the right time and the game management. So yeah, I think like absolutely she'll get the nod again at 10, so she can continue on that.
And we are looking forward to more punditry, courtesy of you.
No pressure.
We get to listen to you all the time.
What are you going
to
wear?
I'm going to have to go shopping. Genuinely.
It is a stress.
Is it a stress?
Yeah, I'm ask real friends. Life rugby girls.
You look lovely.
You can't wear jeans and a like jacket.
How strict is
you
it?
You can wear whatever you want. You're
well, it's like smart, but when you stood next to Gabby Logan, you have to give it some care
you don't
and attention.
Have the Valentino
there
gloves.
She goes again.
Yeah. Can I not say that? You know what I mean? She always looks great.
You're my guest.
My point is, she always looks great.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to do a bit of Instagram stalking on like potential outfits.
But you were going for like the denim and the puffer on the weekend. You were going quite luxe. Like,
because I wasn't really there.
Not there.
Yeah, it was like, I was there as a fan.
You weren't standing next to Gabs.
So. Yeah. Do you think I should have made more effort?
No, I loved it. I love the blue. The blue in your hair and your eyes, and everything worked really nicely.
But the Scouts going to have a slightly different outfit on Saturday.
Oh, here we go.
Come on, give us the outfit story. Because I loved that you had the coat very nonchalantly unbuttoned and it looked minus 40.
I was freezing.
Why did you not?
It wasn't that cold. It was a positively warm day in the northeast.
Balmy at
north. All the girls were like, "I think I'm going to have to wear my thermal." I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "This is a warm day in Newcastle. You do not need to wear a thermal."
Tell me about your outfit.
So basically, I'd driven us to the game, Mo and I, and then we were walking car park, muddy as hell, fresh white sneaks on. That was a separate nightmare. But anyway, walking to the, obviously I'm crutching, got my rucksack on. Mo's very kindly carrying my coat and my jacket blazer. Keep going, chat to some people along the way, keep going. All of a sudden, blazer falls onto the ground. She scoops it up immediately. Oh, it's fine. Throws it back over. Anyway, I didn't think much of it. Didn't want to cause a scene. Got up to where we were doing like our prep bit and stuff. Mo disappears to do her denim jacket and puffer coat jobs. And then I'll go to put...
that just happened. This just escalated.
It maybe sounded funnier in your head. Carry on.
Then I go to put my blazer on before we come down to the presentation point, and whole one side is muddy, so I can't wear it. So I'm a layer down.
When she says layer, it was very thin, but I did feel so bad. I offered her my denim jacket and she said no. So there we are.
Can't be wearing denim next to her mate Gaz.
There we are then. Guys, now I've got a complex like I should have.
No.
No, because you were floating
about. What was that word?
You
look condor. Good.
Gander.
Love it.
Condor.
Gander.
Condor,
you're a giant bird.
Anywho.
Okay. Well, we're looking forward to see what both of you wear. Can we please get it today? I'm wearing post with tags and the whole story.
I haven't got anything to post about now on Instagram because I'm not playing rugby. I'm like, what did non-rugby players post about?
You can post about me.
Okay, I'll post about you.
You can post, you know, photos with your mates to wish them well and tag them in it. And basically what you would write in the card, just give it to the rest of us so we can see as well.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go. Well wishes from Sarah Hunter. Okay, well, Red Rose, number 137, Sarah Hunter, thank you.
Thank you for having me on. It's been the most fun.
Can I ask one question before we go?
Yes.
What's your favourite ever off-field story?
Oh, God. What, with you two?
Off-field story?
No, in the whole history of the Red Rose 137.
Oh. Mo, this is Sarah Hunter. You need to give her about 2 weeks' notice for this.
Yeah, you do need to give me like 2 weeks' notice.
All right, don't worry.
Well, have you got one?
No.
She's got one, she's burning.
No. I like the fact that we can make you jump! Damn it.
So she's not the one from the Madver. No.
Do it.
You're not Stuart Hogg.
Can make a jump. I liked 2014 when you went captain's call with Katie and we all had to stay up. Yeah. And then you ended up in the pool. That was fun.
That was fun.
I know. I'm just going to move on real quick.
The World Cup trophy was on the bottom of the... It was like, where's the World Cup? And I went like, oh, I'm not sure. And then it was literally on the floor of the swimming pool.
You chucked it in the water.
We had it in the water with us. And I think we were like...
Katie was holding it and then it was on the floor.
Yeah.
So good.
It's gone a bit out of fashion nowadays, captain's call,
isn't it?
It's gone
completely out of court. We used to have
a captain's call like last night things. Basically, no one can go to bed until the captain goes to bed. And normally the captains traditionally are relatively hardcore and therefore stay out. But we did it, to be fair, when we got back from World Cup at Cabbage Patch.
Yeah, we did. But then some of the kids did try and get out. I was literally blocking the door. I was like, you're not going. I was like, it's not worth it. I think it was only like 1 o'clock or something. I was like, you're not going.
And the clocks hadn't gone back.
And the clocks hadn't gone back. And then they were like, no. I was like, you're not going. And they were like, I think some of them snuck out the back way.
So that's why Saturday night ended up a 3:30 job, because it was captain's call and Sarah Hunter decided, I'm not letting anyone leave.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you are welcome on our couch whenever you feel like it.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Please stop by again.
Yeah,
Have you. Thank you. I don't know if we're going to see you for a few weeks now.
Yeah.
Hopefully not, in the nicest possible way.
In the nicest possible way. Mm. We're going to miss you monumentously.
That is why you're best in the biz, that. Outstanding.
Needs to become a hashtag now.
Yes, I slapped my thigh. Carry on.
Honestly, my cheeks are hurting so much.
We are probably still going to be sitting here giggling for the next 20 minutes, but I think this is probably where we should leave it. The good news is that Skaz and I will be here every week with the Kid, the Skaz and the Rugby, brought to you by Vodafone. And we'd love to have you along for the ride. And maybe we'll, you know, see you in Cardiff. The Good, the Skaz and the Rugby is a Folding Pocket production produced by Shara Kilgallen.
At one point, I'm sure you said tittle pip.
Yes, you did.
Toodle dip.
Toodle dip.
You've been listening to The Good, The Skaz and The Rugby. A bit like Loose Women, but with less emphasis on working on your pelvic floor.
Can we just start again?